I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loan studios in New York. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with a triple header. First from London, it's the Titans taking on the Chargers. Then Brady and the Pats at Soldier Field to take on the Bears in Chicago. Then a big NFC showdown, Cowboys and Redskins at FedEx. Wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, and start your full day of football on CBS. The Home Depot Foundation's annual Celebration of Service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. Don't forget to go on PharrellOnTheBench.com, PharrellOnTheBench.com. For all my Saturday and Sunday plays, Saturday, Michigan, Michigan State. You got NC State, Clemson, Oregon, Washington State. Sunday, we told you Pats, Bears, Carolina, Philly, Sunday night, Bengals, Chiefs. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything, including NBA and NHL, of course, boxing, MMA. You get it all, plus the World Series. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All right, Jamie Eisenberg. He's legendary on the bench for almost two decades now or something like that. He's been on every single Friday. He's never missed it. His wife hates me. His children now hate me because every Friday night I ruin their Friday night by pulling their father away from them and husband to talk about all of the fantasy football problems that you're having in your life, which is probably more than the bedroom fantasies that you're having in your life. So we bring Jamie on. He is a stud. He's on CBS Sports Radio every Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11. Those are Eastern times with Eye on Fantasy, and he's back on the bench. Hey, Jamie.
Scotty, thanks for having me. As always, not only do I do it in lieu of my family, today is my birthday, so I'm doing it for you on my birthday.
What do we have here, Mafia Houdini? This is unbelievable. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eisenberg. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
All right, so I have a bunch of questions for you before we let everybody else ask a bunch of questions. So let me get to mine. I like going through your, all your information of what to do in fantasy before I put you on the air. So let's start with your start of the week, the Tariq Cohen.
Love Tariq Cohen situation. He's been very good the last 2 weeks. I think this is a game where the Bears are either going to be up and down or chasing points with the Patriots, especially if Khalil Mack doesn't play or he's banged up. And Cohen's just been fantastic. You know, 14 catches the last 2 weeks, over 80 yards rushing in those two games. I just think it's going to be another game where he's looking across the field at somebody who he's, I think, trying to be, and that's James White. I think they're a very similar type of players and very successful as well.
Tell me, as far as quarterbacks, you want to start famous Jameis, Cousins, Wentz, Goff, Dalton, Trubisky. Those are the ones that you're eyeing.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I'm excited about the most is Goff. You know, he's had two poor fantasy games the last 2 weeks. Obviously, the team has been fantastic. And last week, you saw it was, let the run game go. Todd Gurley was awesome. Denver can't stop the run. So you now get a situation where the 49ers, they can't stop the pass. So I think Gurley will get his numbers. You don't have to worry about that. But this is a get back to what Sean McVay wants to do, throw the ball all over the place. Even without Cooper Kupp, it'll be a big day for Goff.
So you want to sit Deshaun Watson because, what, he has a collapsed lung or something?
I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty painful to me. You know, he's been sacked 25 times. He gets a Jacksonville defense. I mean, you know the NFL long enough that they're on the road for two straight games. They get beat up. They come home. They're facing a little bit of a wounded duck. I think they're going to beat up on the Texans this week.
So why sit Dak and Alex Smith? Aren't they both kind of playing well right now all of a sudden?
Dak had his best fantasy game this past week, but I don't know how many games you're going to get 82 yards rushing and a touchdown. The Redskins defense has played really well. Dak typically does not put up a big fantasy number, at least this season, because his receivers are as everybody's well aware, pretty terrible. So this is a Zeke game for the Cowboys. That's about it. And then for the Redskins, I mean, Alex Smith is just missing so many guys. Paul Richardson's out. James Crowder's out. He doesn't really have great receivers to begin with. And so he's yet to have really a big fantasy day. I don't want to trust either of those two guys.
And then he said to basically that he thinks that Rivers is going to be a bust in London, something to do with Big Ben or something. Let's take calls now with Jamie Eisenberg. First half, we take a bunch of calls, then we'll do another segment. That's the second half. Here we go. Trey in New York. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Jamie. Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Full-point PPR. I need to start one of each. Ito Smith, Frank Gore, Trubisky, and Rivers. Need one from each. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trubisky over Rivers. I just think there's a little bit more upside with Trubisky this week. And the reason I don't like Rivers, I just don't know how much he's going to have to throw. He's been under 30 pass attempts, I think, each of the last 3 weeks. So he's just not having the volume that you typically see, whereas Trubisky is definitely getting that volume. I'm going to go Gore over Ito Smith. Gore has actually done a very nice job in his old age, you know, for the Dolphins. And the Lions' run defense, not exactly the best of their defensive prowess this year. I think you'll be able to run on Detroit this week.
All right, let's go. Chris in lovely Sarasota.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on, Jamie? Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a trade question for you. I'm trying to unload Aaron Jones, and I was considering two offers, Aaron Jones and Will Fuller for Josh Gordon straight up, or Aaron Jones for Mohamed Sanu straight up. It's a 12-team PPR league. What do you think?
You know, I mean, if you're not of the belief, which I understand why, that Aaron Jones is going to become a great fantasy option, I think either trade is good for you. The one that I would be a little bit hesitant on is the Sanu one, because we don't know how hurt he is. And so if he doesn't play this week and this injury does linger, you know, hip problems can certainly linger for a long time, then I think you're giving up too much and giving Jones away. But if you want to try and get Josh Gordon before the blow-up, Will Fuller looks like he's on the way down with Kiki QT and his emergence. So I think that's a fair trade. I take the Gordon one.
There you go. Mike in the Windy City.
Hey, Jamie. First off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So I'm having trouble deciding whether I should ride out James Conner or if I should try maybe dealing him for, say, Nick Chubb, PPR.
I mean, you know, that it seems a little reactionary given what's happened today, but it probably is the right move to make. You know, if Le'Veon Bell does come back next week after their bye week and he, you know, just makes it a timeshare, clearly that's a bad situation for Connor. The only way that you don't make that trade is if you know Connor's the guy the rest of the way. And as we sit here right now, we don't know the answer to that, but you do know that Chubb looks to be the guy in Cleveland the rest of the way. So I probably would try and, you know, flip that and get Chubb over Connor just to see how that whole situation plays out in Pittsburgh, or at least to avoid it.
All right. Have a good weekend, Mike. Robert in Ohio.
Hey, Jamie. Guys, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, I need one in a full point, or two in a full point PPR. I got Chubb, Collins, Watkins, and Marlon Mack.
Yeah, I think you know, Nick Chubb is your guy. He is going to get a lot of work. Gerald McCoy is out for the Bucs on their defensive line. I don't think the Browns are making this move. They're not ready to give Nick Chubb a full workload. So it sets up for him to have a potentially big day. And I think he's the best guy that you have right there.
There you go. Steve in Fairfax, Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, happy birthday, Jamie. Hey, I'm in a half-point PPR 14 team. So I got Nick Chubb. Should I start him or should I stick with Matt Breida in my flex?
I think, again, you know, you're just looking at what the upside is. It's a little bit of a gamble because, you know, we don't know how it's going to work between Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. But just, again, looking at what the scenario is, looking at what the matchup is, and I like Matt Breida a lot, but the Rams, you know, run defense is a little bit tougher, I think, right now than what the Bucs run defense is without McCoy in there. So I would play Nick Chubb over Matt Breida.
855-212-4227. Mike in San Francisco.
Hey, Jamie, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Two questions. One is, should I drop Kenyon Drake for Nick Chubb? And the second was for flex standard. If I pick up Chubb, should I play Chubb, Hilton, or Latavius Murray? Thank you.
Yeah, if Drake is the only guy you could drop him and get Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, for anybody listening, is a must-add across the board. He's probably the best free agent that we've had hit the waiver wire so far this offseason. This season, just given what his opportunity is and what his talent level should be. So make sure you get him. And then I think it comes down to, Latavius Murray's in a good spot. No Dalvin Cook. So he's probably a little bit safer. They're going to be back-to-back. I haven't updated my rankings yet, but they'll be back-to-back with Chubb and Murray. So if you want to just take the safe play and play Murray, that's fine. But I don't think you make a wrong choice there between either guy.
All right, let's go to Albert in Miami on QAM.
Feliz cumpleaños, Jamie.
Thank you.
All right, well, my question is Duke Johnson, you think he'll be a good PPR option moving forward? And also, do you think I should start Baker Mayfield over Deshaun Watson this week? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I would start Mayfield over Watson. Again, just looking at matchups, and Mayfield's got a better one. Every quarterback against Tampa Bay so far this season has put up big numbers, and I think you'll see Mayfield. You can make the argument, okay, he needs to have that first one to show you that he can do it. Mitchell Trubisky, he needed to have that first one to show you, and he went for 55 fantasy points against Tampa Bay. So it's a great setup. I think Duke Johnson's got a big opportunity in front of him. He's gotten 4 catches in 2 of the last 3 games. He scored, 13 PPR points in those 2 games. So, yes, his usage goes up. He's sort of like the underlying sleeper here is that, Nick Chubb gets the big boost, and again, he should be added across the board. But go make sure you get Duke Johnson also if you can find him on waivers.
All right, Jamie, second half kickoff coming up.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Do get it all at geico.com. So we're talking to Jamie Eisenberg. You can check him out Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio with Eye on Fantasy. Some of the wide receivers you're hot on: Golden Tate, Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon again with the Pats, Chris Godwin, Tampa, Alshon Jeffrey. You like them this week, right?
I do. I think it's just, good matchups, good situation. Jeffrey's been a pleasant surprise. I didn't think he would play that well last week on Thursday night. He really turned things around. A tough matchup against Janoris Jenkins, and it's a better matchup this week.
And how about tight ends? I like your call on Njoku. He's turning into a badass for the Browns.
Yeah, it's funny because, such a slow start with Tyrod Taylor, and he's been Mayfield's best guy. It's really just such an amazing matchup against Tampa Bay. They've been so bad against tight ends, bad against quarterbacks. It really should be the best game that we've seen from the Browns offensively, I think, all the way around.
I like their tight end, Tampa's O.J. Howard, the kid out of Bama.
He's been fantastic, and last week was a huge surprise because he was expected to miss up to a month with that MCL sprain, and he ended up coming back after just a bye week, and he was really, really good. And I think he'll be really, really good again.
What defenses are you hot on this week, Jamie?
You look at the Colts. I know Derek Anderson's an upgrade over Nathan Peterman, but not that much. In that same game, the Bills, Andrew Luck has been just turnover prone. The Chargers, I think, will be really good against the Titans Sunday morning. You saw them get sacked 11 times. I know they're not available, per se, on waivers like the Colts were, but if you have the Chargers, fire them up because they're going to be really good.
So what did you think of the trade today for people that want to figure it all out, the move that was made with Hyde?
Well, I think first off, from the Cleveland perspective, Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson get a huge boost in value. Chubb becomes a must-start guy. Duke Johnson maybe in PPR, same thing. But definitely you want to make sure those guys are owned if they're available on your waiver wire. Carlos Hyde gets a downgrade. Unless Leonard Fournette is put on IR. If Fournette does not get put on IR and returns following their bye week as expected, which is going to be week 10, you have really a one-game window to use Carlos Hyde, potentially, because T.J. Yeldon is still there. So Hyde's not going to play this week. He probably will play next week, but then they're going to be sharing touches with Yeldon, and then Fournette comes back in week 10, so it becomes a mess for that Jaguar situation. So Cleveland, the guys get a boost. Jacksonville, everybody gets a downgrade.
All right, let's go to the phones. Caleb in Pennsylvania, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Jamie, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Played against Emmanuel Sanders, and so I need some help with my flex here. I need 2 out of the 4 for flex. This is a standard league. James White, Matt Breida, Chris Thompson, or Devin Funchess? And then also, should I start Hooper over Kittle at tight end?
I think, if we find out Sunday that both Sanu, or I guess either one of Sanu or Ridley are out for the Falcons, then it's an easy call to play Hooper. I probably would play Hooper anyway just because
I know the Giants statistically have been better against tight ends than they have in the past, but some of it's a little bit fluky. But I think Hooper's just got a little bit higher ceiling right now. And then I'd play the first two running backs, James White and Matt Breida. I know they're better, at least in White's case, in PPR than standard, but just with what that game could be between the Bears and the Patriots, I think White's still going to be heavily involved. And Breida just has been very good every time he's gotten to work.
All right, let's go to Mark in the Motor City.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Happy birthday, Jamie.
Thank you.
Hey, so real quick, can you talk a little bit about the fallout from the Ted Ginn Jr. Injury season-wide? Would you go with Meredith or Tre'Quan Smith? And are they worth the pickup?
They are absolutely worth picking up. I would prioritize Meredith over Smith, depending on what your team needs are. If you need somebody who's going to give you a consistent number, I think Meredith has got a higher floor. But as we saw in that game against Washington on Monday night when Bree set the record, it was Tre'Quan Smith with the big plays. So Meredith is a guy that's been trending in the right direction. He'll get more targets, he'll get more playing time, et cetera. But Smith will be the home run play. So if you think you need a good guy to help you win a few weeks, then I would take Smith. If you think you just need a steady few points, I would take Meredith. But both guys, very similar to the Cleveland situation from the running back standpoint, both Saints receivers get a bump in value for sure.
All right, there you go. Dominic in Detroit.
Hey, Jamie, happy birthday. Give a shout out to, hey, you got to go, bye. But anyways, the question I had for you is I have Kareem Hunt, James White, and Philip Lindsay as my running backs. And my backup running backs, I have just Kenyon Drake. So I was thinking I have $67 left in my fab. And I know Jalen Richard and Doug Martin are out there. So I was just wondering, who would you prefer more? And how much do you think I should put in for a bid? I'm 2-4 right now, and I'm tied for third. So,
I think Richard is the one that I prefer, just because the way that the Raiders are going to operate. Marshawn Lynch has been good. Some of it has been touchdown dependent. So Doug Martin certainly has the opportunity to get that role. But we've seen Richard play in tandem with Lynch and even with Martin in their pass-catching role, certainly when they're chasing points. So I think they're going to be chasing points more often than not. So I think Richard gets a bigger bump from my mind than for my money than Martin. And I'd probably spend in the neighborhood of $25. Maybe just make sure you get him, especially if you're 2-4. You need to win when they come off their bye week. But you're off to a good start, though, with Lindsay.
All right, there you go. Dre and Cali.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Hello?
Yeah, you're on, dude. Go.
Sorry, Scotty. Hey, in my league I'm in, defense is really strong. Like, the Ravens scored me 70 points last week with that shutout. Mm-hmm. So the Ravens are playing New Orleans this week, and New Orleans scores a lot. And so I'm thinking about taking Tampa Bay. What do you think?
I mean, if it comes down to those two teams, I'm going to stick with the Ravens. Yes, the Saints score a lot. The Saints' offense, however, not the same outdoors as they are indoors. The Ravens are going to make things uncomfortable for them. If you get a chance to, if you really want to be a football nerd, go try and get the NFL Game Pass. Watch some of the things that the Ravens did to confuse Marcus Mariota. They're not going to do the same thing to Drew Brees, clearly, because he's a much more experienced and better quarterback. But they shifted some coverage. They moved some things around. They blitzed him. This new defense that they're running in Baltimore is fantastic, and they're going to make Breeze uncomfortable. So I would still stick with the Ravens if that's the only option you have is Tampa Bay.
There you go. All right, Dre. Hiram in Miami.
Good evening, gentlemen. Happy birthday, Jamie. So,
thank you.
Quick question, two-part, actually. Tell me who got the better part of a trade today. Would you take Michael Thomas and McCoy against Edelman and Mixon? Also, for a PPR league, I need two, either McCoy, Gabriel, or Chubb, who just picked up. And also, I'm going to throw four names out for you. Tell me where they're from. Hawkins, Dylan, Mack, and Dutch. Have a good night, gentlemen.
Hawkins, Dylan, Mack, Dutch. I have no idea. I would go with Chubb for sure. Gabriel will be the second option. I just think the way Gabriel's played the last couple weeks, he's been great, and obviously Chubb, now gets the boost. I think the trade is even. The two best players are Michael Thomas and Joe Mixon based on the different positions, and the complementary parts are somewhat equal also. So I'll give that grade a C. You guys both did a great job.
All right, Norman in Florida, and then one more after that. Go ahead, Norman.
Hey, Jamie, happy birthday, and also go Gators.
Thank you.
So right now I have A.J. Green and Jarvis Landry as my two receivers in a standard league. So for my flex, I need one of John Brown, Julian Edelman, Sterling Shepard, or Devin Funches. Thanks.
Yeah, I would play Edelman first off. I know Scotty loves that call because he loves the Gators. But Julian Edelman is probably your best bet. Just given, you know, again, what this matchup should be. And, you know, you got to like that he scored last week. I think he'll still be in that 9-target range. And so just given the names that you have there, I think Edelman's your best option.
All right. And then finally, TJ in Chattanooga before we blow out the birthday candles.
What's up, boys? Scotty, shake it, dude.
Oh, shake it, dude.
Hey, Jamie, I hope you have a terrible birthday. I'm kidding, dude. Happy birthday.
That's awesome.
I have a chance to play Brock Osweiler, and I have a chance to play Marcus Mariota this week. What's going on?
You know what? Take the chance with Osweiler at this point. I mean, you know, the Lions' pass defense has been good, but, you know, you look at Mariota, he's got a tough matchup also against the Chargers, and he just looks lost. You know, I think that elbow injury is clearly bothering him. Osweiler seems to take hold of this Adam Gase system. Now, he's going to look like Osweiler. That's just the nature of how he's going to play. But, you know, 380-3, and even though you got the two interceptions, you ride the hot hand. And for right now, Osweiler's the hot hand.
All right, Jamie, you can check him out Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern on Ion Fantasy here on CBS Sports Radio. You can check him out at CBSSports.com and on CBS HQ. Happiest of birthdays to you, Jamie. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the games. I'll see you next Friday.
Thanks, Scotty. I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Way to go, birthday boy. There he is, Jamie Eisenberg, an institution on the bench and on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we got Brian McNally joining us from the sports capital in D.C., senior writer. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Scotty, what's going on, pal?
So I want to start off by talking about the Capitals, and then we'll get into the Redskins-Cowboy game. First, let me say, they were down 4-1, and then they get Conley, Vrana, and Smith-Pelly goals, beating the Panthers goalie in, like, less than 12 minutes. They got back in that game. But somehow, some way, the winless Panthers ended up beating the Stanley Cup champs tonight in D.C. in a shootout. I think Huberto had the game winner in the shootout.
Man, I kind of like the Panthers, Scotty. I know they're started off slow, but they got some talent, don't they? There's some holes there. Goalie, certainly. James Reimer was terrible tonight. Caps took advantage in the second period and came back. But I don't know. I think the Panthers might, if they can survive this little early stretch, might be in the mix for a playoff spot later in the year. I don't know where you stand on that. But certainly the Caps, the emotional investment is just not there right now, Scotty. I mean, it's difficult for a team coming off as much hockey as they played last year, as emotional as that run was. October games against the Panthers in a kind of two-thirds full stadium without much juice, you know, that's not ideal situation. So the Caps got to figure that out, maybe got to get through October and November here and turn it on at some point. But for now, they're looking a little flat, especially early in these games.
So you think they, like, have this Stanley Cup hangover and they're just not, like, they're so, like, spent from that they just don't seem to look like they care right now when they're going through the motions?
Yeah, I mean, down 4-1, you know, to the Panthers in the first. Holtby actually, I didn't think, played that badly. I mean, they kind of left him out to dry. Panthers got a bunch of second chance goals early. You know, we kind of ran with the narrative early, Scotty, that, you know, they crushed the Bruins on opening night, 7-0. They came back the next night against Pittsburgh. It was a crazy 7-6 game. They lost in overtime. It was a really good game. The next week they played Vegas in the rematch of the Cup final. Looked good that night as well. So we all thought, oh, well, there's no hangover. They're good. You're starting to see it creep in here, though. You're starting to see the emotional level. The Leafs looked better than they did last Saturday. They kind of used that as a measuring stick, and I think that's something the Caps have to get used to, is teams that always – look, they've been good for a decade, right? Teams always point at that game and say, we want to play well against Washington. But when you're the Stanley Cup champs, it raises the bar a little bit. You saw it in the Toronto game last weekend. You even saw it tonight against the Panthers. They came ready to play. the Caps didn't, and they got a point out of it, but probably were lucky to even do that.
So do you think the three-game Western swing to Vancouver and then, Edmonton and Calgary for Alberta will help the Capitals, a little road trip to get them to maybe realize this isn't going to be a joke?
It could. I mean, it's kind of a pivot point because that trip can go two ways. I've seen the Caps have that trip where, they come out of it with a point or they get shelled a couple of times. They generally play pretty well out there. I mean, for a lot of especially the Western Canada guys, it's a homecoming. It's a chance for their families to come out and see them play. So I think they'll be all right. I think those are winnable games, especially if they don't go out too hard Sunday night in Vancouver. You get an off night, that can be trouble sometimes out there. But I think this is a good chance for them to kind of get things back together. Not an easy road trip by any means, but I think they can come out of that one with 3 points. They'll feel pretty good about it and feel all right going into November.
So are you surprised that they're the first team really in the nation's capital to finally really, do anything huge, that they're the ones that won a championship and not the Nats or the Redskins? I mean, the Redskins have won Super Bowls, but it's been a long time.
It was it 25 years, Scott, without a title here in D.C.? I mean, it wasn't just that they didn't win either. It was that the Caps were almost always good, other than a couple of year bad stretch when they won the lottery and got Ovechkin. The Caps were in it every year. And then certainly with Ovechkin, they came, they were a second round team every year. They always seemed to lose to the Penguins. The Redskins, it's a little different since their glory days. They throw a parade when they make the playoffs. The Caps, it wasn't like that. The Caps, it was always Stanley Cup or bust the last 10 years, and they finally broke through. So I was surprised, I guess, it took them that long. I wasn't surprised they were the team that did it. And then the Nats were a similar story where the playoffs just weren't kind to them. They're almost the new Caps at this point where I think they've won 4 division titles since 2012 and have had a couple other disappointing seasons and haven't even won a playoff series. So, the Nats are the team now that kind of has the fan angst with them. The Caps at this point are playing with house money.
Brian McNally, senior writer for the sports capital in D.C. with us. Let's talk about the Redskins now on this game that they have at FedEx with their division rival Dallas Cowboys coming in on Sunday. So the Redskins, they got some problems. Jamison Crowder, Richardson, Thompson, Peterson, their backfield, their receivers, all in doubt. I mean, at least doubtful or questionable, all of those guys. What's the problem?
Yeah, this is not a good situation for them, Scott. I mean, wide receiver especially, you're trying to get the passing game going with Alex Smith here in his first year. It's been a little hit or miss. To not have Doxson and Richardson's been – Paul Richardson's a guy that actually has been reasonably productive here early in the season. He's playing through a shoulder injury that probably will not be healed until the season's over, and maybe he gets some surgery done. He's got a bad knee, too. That's not a good situation. They had to bring Michael Floyd in off the street just to kind of have an extra veteran body. Josh Doxson has missed some time. He missed the Saints game. With a heel injury that's plagued him for pretty much his whole career, his whole time in Washington at this point. And Crowder is the really bad one. I saw him walking around the locker room 2 days ago, not walking around the locker room. He was actually on a scooter with his right ankle in a boot. So, that doesn't bode well. He's doubtful to play. Then you're down a lot of weapons. Then you're Alex Smith. What do you got? You got Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. And you hope that Adrian Peterson is and Chris Thompson should be back. He's obviously a weapon for them, but Adrian Peterson's the big one. I mean, he's been a beast for them early this year, and a guy that I would expect, Scott, that he'll play. He popped his shoulder back into place in the Saints game. He's a tough dude, and I think he'll play this weekend and be reasonably effective against the Cowboys, but he's certainly in some pain as well.
They got everything. Quentin Dunbar. But I got to ask you about that defense. Swearinger and Norman are as cocky as any two guys in the NFL.
Yep.
They're always involved in something on the field with talking smack to somebody or getting into, back and forth and everything. Do you like that about them, or do you think they do too much of that and don't back it up?
you know, I think that's it's a fair criticism to say they don't necessarily back it up. And, you know, Josh is being paid like a number one corner, and there are some around the league who will question if he is that anymore. He's obviously not playing in the same system he did in Carolina, where it was more zone based and, you know, based on anticipation and reads and breaking on the ball and all that. You know, it's not quite the same. I thought he was pretty good his first year here. He's been up and down a little bit. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but, you know, he's not maybe the $75 million guy that they were hoping they would get. He's still good enough to he's better than what they got, at least at the time when they signed him. Quentin Dunbar, good young guy who's coming up, and I think a pretty talented football player that they've developed and done a good job with. But you're right, Swearinger, same way. That was safety was a black hole for them, Scott, really since Sean Taylor passed away over a decade ago. And so Swearinger's brought some talent and some swagger to that spot. But they've got some communication issues on the back end. They've been burned a couple of times by Aaron Rodgers, by Drew Brees, on just easy kind of mental breakdowns, long touchdown passes. They can't have that. They got to get on the same track here. They looked a little bit better last week against Carolina for the most part. But, you know, they got to stick with that against Dallas. There have been too many communication issues. Andrew Luck carved them up in week two. That's definitely – if the Redskins' run defense has been a surprise, how good those guys are up front, the secondary, I think it's fair to say, has been a disappointment this year.
Is the left side there at corner with Dunbar out? Danny Johnson's also banged up. Is that going to be a problem against Dak and Zeke, that nobody's going to be on that side stopping anything?
It's tough. I mean, they went into the season. They kind of made their bed, right? They had Norman. They cut Bashaud Breeland. They thought Dunbar was kind of the guy that would be able to kind of fill that spot. But then behind those guys, it's just all rookies and second-year pros, guys like Fabian Moreau from UCLA. Didn't play much as a rookie. Now he's the starting slot corner since they traded Kendall Fuller to Kansas City in the Alex Smith deal. There's a lot going on there, Scott. If anybody gets hurt, if you lose Norman or Dunbar, there's a lot of young bodies there that probably aren't ready for prime time, and the Redskins are, I think, playing with fire a little bit at the corner position.
You know, I like the way Alex Smith's playing. When they win, they look really good, and when they lose, I hate to say it, they look really bad. There's no in-between. They either get it done and play well, or they suck. There's no, like, close games or, wow, they're just barely missing. They're right there. They're in every game. It's either they win big or they lose big.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where you can see Alex Smith kind of struggling to figure out what he has. I mean, you know, some weeks Vernon Davis looks like the younger version of himself. Then he disappears. You know, some weeks they get the ball to Jordan Reed. The next week he has two catches. I mean, it's been a difficult situation for them to get on track. The injuries don't help. I mean, I get that. Josh Doctson has been, as I said, been hurt. Crowder has battled hamstring and ankle injuries all year, and he is, you know, maybe one of the more underrated slot receivers in the league. He had 192 catches his first three seasons. He's really good when healthy, but he hasn't been healthy. And, you know, that offensive line, while not as bad as the disaster they endured last year where it seemed like everybody got hurt, their Pro Bowlers, Trent Williams, had knee surgery just like 3 weeks ago. He's back on the field, but maybe not, you know, himself. Brandon Scherff, another Pro Bowler at right guard, playing on a banged up MCL. You know, they may be vulnerable up front because of kind of a batch of youth, and the guys, the mainstays, you know, aren't 100%. So they gotta figure that out and hope those guys can, you know, can shake off these injuries and play well, because that line should be pretty good if they're healthy. And I don't know that they have played up to their potential so far.
So, Cowboys, you can get a Dallas plus 1.5 in this one. With all the problems that the Redskins are having with these injuries we've talked about, do you like Washington to cover that 1 or 1.5 and win this game, or do you think Dallas will beat them?
At some point, Scott, I feel like the Redskins have to break through. I mean, it's been a while since they have against Dallas. I think it's 4 or 5 losses in a row. The games are not blowouts necessarily, but I wouldn't call them close. Dallas usually, you know, dating back the last 3 years, controls the clock, runs the ball, uses Zeke, uses Dak. I mean, the games aren't necessarily pretty. One thing I do like in the Redskins' favor, and one reason I may take them this week, I love their front three. I love Jonathan Allen. I love Daron Payne. Matt Ioannidis is an underrated player up front, fifth-round pick out of Temple a couple of years ago. Those dudes have been balling, and teams are struggling to run against them. Now, it's a different story with the Cowboys and with Zeke, but I think they're good enough to maybe contain Dallas's running game. Whether they can hold up on the back end, I don't know, but I give the Redskins a decent chance in this one. I think they can get this win.
All right, Brian McNally, always great to have you on, senior writer for the Sports Capital in D.C. Enjoy the game at FedEx on Sunday. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
Should be fun. Thanks, Scotty. Anytime.
All right, Brian McNally of the Sports Capital in D.C. talking about the Redskins and Cowboys and a little bit of Caps in there as well. They lose in a shootout to the Panthers tonight. How about that, Mafia? Big game at FedEx on Sunday. They got a lot of injuries. Who do you like in that one, Mafia? Are you going to take Dallas in the 1.5, or are you going to lay it?
I think the way the Cowboys played last week and all the injuries that they're dealing with on offense, it's hard for me to take the Redskins. I think Dallas is going to get the win here again.
Carver, hi. Who do you like in that one?
Love the Skins on Sunday.
Whoa, he loves them, he says. Now we're going to open up the phones and talk about every game. How about that? College, pro, call. 855-212-4227. Talk about any game on Saturday or Sunday, pain day. It's Pharrell on the bench. This is CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.